Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's radio.com cash time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
Sorry, it's time for the radio.com cash contest cash code for the 9 o'clock hour. Text ZAP, Z-A-P, text ZAP, Z-A-P to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. ZAP, Z-A-P, Z-A-P to 72881. Your next chance to win is right here on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10 o'clock when I will give you another radio.com cash code. One last time, text ZAP, Z-A-P, to 72881, 5 a.m., or beg your pardon, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. each and every day right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. For your chance to win radio.com cash, text ZAP, Z-A-P, to 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't writing nothing. I ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Friday. And happy birthday to Mike Norvell. You know how old Mike Norvell is today, Jeffrey?
Is he 43?
Nope.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
41.
Lower.
39.
Lower.
38?
38 years old. Mike Norvell is 38 years old. I'd say he's done pretty well in his 38 years, wouldn't you?
I'd say he's ahead of schedule. Just like his offenses like to be, he's ahead of schedule.
He wants to be ahead of the chains, right? Ahead of the chains and ahead of schedule.
Got to stay ahead of those chains.
So happy birthday to Mike Norvell. They were talking about what games, in ESPN, they were talking about what games, if you could only watch one this weekend, what game would you watch? And startlingly little mention of the Memphis Temple game. Baseball games were mentioned, but since we're early in the series, it was largely football games. What would you watch if you could just watch one? If you could watch, LSU, Florida, is that the one you'd watch? You'd watch Oklahoma, Texas. You'd watch Texans, Chiefs.
From a vested interest.
Not from my money. Stop your money grasping.
Ooh, if I can only watch one game this weekend.
I remind you, the Bills have a bye.
Correct. I'm actually going to go Niners-Rams.
Niners-Rams. That's what Mike said. He went, why my Niners-Rams? Because you're intrigued.
Yes, because if the Niners win this game, they have a very clear path and a clear head up on winning the West. And more importantly, I think that puts the Rams in a very awkward predicament because that would be their fourth loss and they would be really, really fighting from underneath to try to make the playoffs.
I was, and I'm going to talk about this in just a moment. I was at the Hall of Fame ceremony last night at AutoZone Park, the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame ceremony, which was just spectacular. So I didn't watch the NFL game. I was counting on your Giants to, and I, but I was reading about this morning. I was catching up on it this morning. It felt like I was reading about a Tennessee football game. Like, boy, they look good in getting hammered by the, this was a moral victory in the Giants getting hammered by the Patriots. Is that true? Did you find moral?
Until the last possession, Jeff, the offenses were tied up at 14 points apiece. So, I mean, I don't even know if that's a moral victory. I think that's just
it's actual
hashtag
up.
Facts only.
Facts only.
Yeah.
Is Brady old? What was the, you've made this observation before. What was the problem with the Patriots?
I'm sure this will be heresy. It was the least impressive 31 of 41 for 334 I've ever seen. Like, and in fairness, the wind was blowing like 20 miles an hour.
Right.
And so no one looked good throwing the football.
Right.
But it was, to me, it looked like the Patriots were bored. Like the whole game, I just felt like they looked very, very bored.
Probably not unlike the viewership.
Yes, I would say.
Not unlike much of the viewership.
Now, that could be, I wonder if I was projecting.
I say that, by the way. Yesterday, the one thing I didn't get to, I was going to, the one story we were waiting for was going to be about the NFL ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I say what you want. Streaming is up 50% over last year. Streaming is up 50%, right? The number of people who stream NFL games. And so you would think that, well, it's because people aren't watching TV anymore, right? They're streaming.
Yes, cord cutting.
Television viewership is up 6%. And the top 20 television shows last week, the top 20 most watched television shows last week in the United States of America were all NFL football games.
Shocking.
It's just ridiculous.
You know, when we do, the, you know, like when we look at like the top 50 list, like whenever they give us at the end of the year, like the top 50 most watched television events.
It's 47
like 45.
Of them.
Yeah.
Yes. But anyway, okay. So today on the show, Jason Smith's going to roll in here in a minute. We'll talk to Jason Smith about all manner of things. Chris Harrington, of course, at 10 o'clock. And then Jeffrey is going to make you even richer than you are already. So we will do all of those things today. I was at the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame last night. And full disclosure, I am on the selection committee for the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. I had the pleasure of being one of the three people, along with Jarvis Greer and Dave Woloshin, who introduced the inductees. But I've played a pretty small, like there are a lot of people on this induction committee. One person's vote does not carry a whole lot of weight. And I haven't been terribly involved. There's been a lot of people doing a lot of heavy lifting, and I am not one of them. Pierre Landash is the head of the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. Kevin Kane, head of Memphis Tourism, is, of course, deeply involved. My old colleagues, John Stamm and John Ganazzo from the Commercial Appeal, days of the Commercial Appeal, have been doing much of the heavy lifting and on and on. There's a whole team that has been doing incredible work with this Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. And so my job is just to show up and read a few sentences here and there wearing an O'Call jacket.
Looking great.
Which I did. And people comment on because they're not used to it. They're getting more used to it, but they do comment on. And I'll be honest. I wondered what kind of event it would be. First, I thought it would be endless. You know how you go to events and like you're secretly thinking, there's 22.
I was going to say, especially with that many, because it's the
first class.
Because it's the first class.
Yeah. Like after this, there may be 10 or 8 or 12. Or I mean, they haven't given us numbers, but there's not going to be 22. So there's going to be 22 inductees. And you're like, oh my gosh, this thing is just going to go on forever. And these poor people who have to sit here for this whole thing. And then furthermore, I was really thinking to myself, you know, do they really like Tim McCarver? Okay.
Yep.
Tim McCarver is, he's in the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. He's won World Series twice. He's got the Ford Frick Award from the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yep.
So in that way, he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Doesn't live in Memphis anymore. Like, what's Tim McCarver need to be in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame for, right? What's Claude Humphrey? Claude Humphrey is a Hall of Famer, like the Hall of Fame, the NFL
right.
Hall of Fame.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Pro Football Hall of Fame. What does Claude Humphrey need to be in a Memphis Hall of Fame for? Penny Hardaway, he's got plenty to do. Like, Penny Hardaway is, was he one of the 50? Is he one, I mean, he's Olympian. He's, you know, I don't, when the NBA did their 50 greatest, whatever, I don't know if, anyway, we know about Penny Hardaway's accomplishments. Does Penny really need to, of course it was going to be obvious he was going to be in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame if there ever was one. Isaac Bruce is waiting for a Hall of Fame call, and I just kind of assumed it was like the other Hall of Fame call, which he should get, and I think he will, honestly. I think he will get that. So, and then you're like, well, Keith Lee's not going to come because Keith Lee never comes. And so I was really not skeptical, but I was wondering how the thing would go.
I think that's a fair, that was a fair concern. I guess that's a concern.
It was unbelievably great. It was unbelievably great. First of all, it was a perfect night out in the, at AutoZone Park. And they do things incredibly well at AutoZone Park. You're just reminded of, they had, the chairs were set up. First, it was a private reception. And then there was a public reception, and then there was sort of chairs and the set up in the outfield, and they used the big screen to show the highlights, and
yeah.
It was spectacular. So they do it well, incredibly well. Secondly, like everyone who was alive and able to come, with only, I think, three exceptions of the 22, came. And or it was like who came? Penny Hardaway comes walking through the like a relief pitcher in from the outfield
yep.
right before the thing starts.
They called in the big righty.
They called in the big righty. He was there. Keith Lee, I mentioned this yesterday. The assumption was Keith Lee doesn't like he doesn't do this.
He doesn't go. No.
He doesn't do. He does. He's got no interest in it. And there's this feeling that Keith Lee is bitter, and whatnot. And so. People just said, Keith Lee's not going to come, probably. Well, Kevin Kane called Keith Lee, and Keith Lee not only came, he brought 60 family and friends with him. And then Keith Lee was, Kevin Kane, on the stage, he said, yeah, Keith Lee's, you have a chance to say some remarks,
sure.
obviously, when you're inducted. And there, Kevin says, Keith's not going to talk. But he did. Like, he did. He said how happy he was to be there. He was beaming the whole time. Keith Lee was absolutely beaming, thrilled to be there the whole time. The only people who, honestly, were, of the 22, Cindy Parlow had a commitment that she couldn't make it. Fred Smith, so he couldn't make it. And I think Nikki McCray Penson had surgery, so she couldn't make it. All of the others... were either there, represented. Bill Dance was there. Tim McCarver was there. Claude Humphrey was there. The Lapidus family, Barbara Lapidus, was there. On and on and on. Melanie Smith Taylor, who you may not know, but who won an Olympic gold medal and was the great equestrian of our time, was there. Rochelle Stevens pulled up in a white limo, a white stretch limo. Memphis Bill Carey, Hall of Famer, his granddaughter came from Florida to be there to accept it. And it was something else. And what really struck me watching it was how much they all wanted to be there because it was Memphis. Because it was Memphis. I think there's something about being honored by the folks who knew you before you were, right? By the folks who knew you when, by your hometown, being honored. You could be honored in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. You could be honored in the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. You can be honored in the National whatever it is Hall of Fame. But to be honored by home, I think really means something. But then the other thing is, I don't think this home is just like every other home. And people say all the time about Memphis that this city has an inferiority complex, and you can still see it in different ways. You can see it. I mean, I push back against that it has inferiority complex. But for example, when you see what's his name, the golf writer who was ripping, you know, in advance of the FedEx event, right?
Kyle Porter.
What?
Kyle Porter.
Yeah, when he was ripping Memphis, and we immediately get our backs up and go after him, Kyle Porter, because he dared to, by implication, insult Memphis. So what's honestly to me remarkable about the place is that works parallel to this fierce pride in Memphis. And as much as the people last night were proud of their own individual accomplishments, which they were, they really were proud at being from Memphis. Tim McCarver told a story that when he got his first hit, I think he was 19 maybe. Maybe he was 19? Maybe he was 17. He was really young when he got his first hit. It was at Wrigley. And he said, Harry Carey. He said he didn't know because obviously he was on the field, but later said, and they're dancing in the streets of Memphis. And he took pride in that because he wasn't just a baseball player. He was a baseball player from Memphis. And
he was 18.
He was 18 when he got his first hit. That's unbelievable. So Melanie Smith-Taylor, again, some of you may not know her. She lives in Germantown, by the way, one of the great equestrians of our time. She said as she competed all around the world, she just took incredible pride in saying that she was from Memphis. We have the example of so many of these athletes who honestly, they weren't just from Memphis. They moved back to Memphis, or they never left Memphis, or they refused to leave Memphis. Barbara Lapidus said that when she married George Lapidus, she knew that George was not going to want to live in Memphis, and she said, thank heaven for that. She grew up here, too. Like, they knew each other. There's a picture of George and Barbara. I think she's in a baby carriage, and George is, whatever, 3 or something. But she said she knew when she married George that he wasn't going to live in Memphis, and she said, thank goodness for that, because she didn't want to live in Memphis. And then she realized after about 10 years, you could not get George out of Memphis. And she also, by the way, came to say that she was thrilled by that as well. Like, she was thrilled that they made their decision to stay in Memphis. But there's George, who refused to leave Memphis. There's Claude Humphrey. I asked Claude Humphrey. Claude Humphrey played for the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. He had an ridiculous number of sacks, NFL Hall of Famer, et cetera, could live anywhere. I asked him, why does he live in Memphis? He said, why else would I live? Well, of course I live in Memphis. He moves back to Memphis. Penny Hardaway, we've said this before, Penny Hardaway played in Orlando, played in Phoenix. Correct me if I'm wrong. They have good golf courses in Orlando and Phoenix, don't they?
Yes, and better, and probably more weather that's probably
weather,
better for,
more conducive
more
to
suitable
using
for
said
golfing.
Golf courses. Yeah. Yeah. I think he has a healthy bank account, don't you imagine?
I would assume so.
Yeah, and yet what does he do? He moves back to Memphis. And then there is the sort of signature example of this, which is Ronnie Robinson and Larry Finch, who were, and then Vertus Sales was there too. He was inducted as well. But Larry and Ronnie, very famously, because then Memphis State had historically not welcomed black athletes, black basketball players to play for Memphis State. And there was an understandable resentment towards the university because of that. A lot of folks didn't want them to go to Memphis, thought they were a sellout if they went to Memphis, including their own high school basketball coach. And as Vicky said last night, and Emma Robinson, who was there, both the widows of the two were both there. There was just no way you were getting him out of Memphis. There's no way you were getting them out of Memphis. I don't think, and listen, Buffalo is a similarly there is a Buffalo exerts a tug on you as well. So it's not, I don't know if this is total, but I just don't think, I don't think this is like it is everywhere. I really don't. There is this pride of place here that runs completely counter to what people talk about as the inferiority complex. You should have seen Penny. Penny, everyone thought that Penny was just going to swoop in from the outfield. This was the assumption, is he was going to swoop in from the outfield minutes before, which he did, because he's busy, he's coaching and recruiting and everything else. And he was then going to, in fact, a little small secret, there's 22 people here, and I was introducing Jerry Johnson first, who, by the way, 101 years old, there to accept in person, stayed the whole time. So the order was supposed to go Jerry Johnson, then Becky Booker Parks, then Isaac Bruce. That was with this was the original order. And when we heard that Penny was coming, his schedule had cleared so that he was coming, he was going to be eighth, right? When we heard that he was coming, we actually flipped him up to third. We had to flip the VIP right before the thing began so he could get his award and get out of there, right?
Right.
So he wouldn't be imposing on Penny Hardaway too long. He could accept his award. He could get out of there. Penny's there, whatever. So we did. We moved him third. And then guess what happened with 4 through 22?
They were all
he
there.
He stayed.
Yeah.
He stayed. He didn't want to go anywhere. Penny did not want to go anywhere. He sat there. You should have heard him see like laughing as Vicky Finch talked. And as Emma Robinson talked, and as Rochelle Stevens talked, and as Isaac Bruce talked, it was and people have written me and said that they're not athletes and they're not owners or they're not whatever. I mean, William Dunham was honored last night. Avron Fogelman was honored last night. They were both there, but that the city has the same tug on them, and it's one of the reasons that they. They live in Memphis because they can't imagine living anywhere else. I just think you've lived elsewhere.
Yes, I have.
Is there a tug? How do you explain it?
Let's see. I think the best way I would explain it is it's more than the places that are here, you know, like the
Yeah, it doesn't have to do with Pete and Sam's, your love of Pete and Sam's.
Or you know, the things that we see, you know, the screen, like the B-roll footage that we see on Bluff City Law, that you know what I mean? Like the things that obviously like we can recognize. There's something about being from here that is, it just continues to tug at you. And I think it's because it's kind of like part of your fabric. Like there's this idea that, you know, I think we like to play up the narrative of like hardworking, blue collar, you know, like the like whatnot. But I do think like there is something to it. It might be certainly cliche.
What I think is bizarre is that we hear so much of people who write, who say, couldn't wait the hell to get out of there, right? Or why would you move to that hellhole or whatever? But the evidence is also to the contrary. It's all of these people who here's the thing, they're not. They grew up in all different kinds of parts of Memphis. You know, I mean, there are equestrians from Germantown. There were basketball players from Orange Mound. There were, you know, up and down the gamut. East, west, north, south, rich, poor, et cetera. And
I think it's the fact that
last night they all felt the same way.
I think it has a soul. And I think that's it. Like, I've lived in places that are nice places. And there are advantages to living there, and I'm not even saying compared to.
But there's not a spirit about them.
No, but you come here. Like,
there's a spirit about it. Yeah. Well, I will say so. Like, I mean, I lived in Fort Lauderdale, and there is not a spirit about that place. I mean, maybe there is for some, but it certainly wasn't for me. It did not have a keen sense of place. Anyway, it was really it was fun and it was moving to see all of the folks and the way they. Embraced Memphis. And I did. I talked to the Lapidus family. They were wonderful. They said, George, one of his sons said, well, George would have been falsely modest, of course.
Of course. That's how
but also said he would have loved it. Just loved it. Not the honoring part.
No, the fact that all the history
part,
and the like, history that was there. And the
Well, hey, he would have liked chatting with everybody. I mean, here's the truth is that Bill Dance, one of the great fishermen in the world, at one point, they did media, and they were hanging out in the hallway underneath the AutoZone Park, and Bill Dance, one of the great fishermen in the world, saw Tim McCarver, and he said, hey, Tim, can we get a picture? And, like, they went to high school together. They went to Christian Brothers together. Bill Dance and Tim Carver went to Christian Brothers together. And he said, we haven't done this since high school. He wanted that picture.
Yeah.
It was Verdy Sales. Jerry Johnson was his coach. He played for Jerry Johnson, 101-year-old Jerry Johnson. He then started really sort of – he, Ronnie, and Larry were a – you know, got it all started. And so these are people who knew each other and who loved each other and who loved the city. And it was a lot of fun to watch. I also talked to the Lapidus family about the incredible burden I have of trying to live up to George's role as a spokesperson for O'Call. And no one can live up to George's role as a spokesperson for Oak Hall. George like grew up going to Oak Hall. Like, he is one of the people who grew up going to Oak Hall. And I remember back when I would sit across from him, he would wax on about a sweater or whatever.
God, he loved cashmere.
And he loved cashmere. And I'd come on, it's a
sweater, man. Come on,
great.
Right?
It's a sweater. And then you realize, you go into Oak Hall and you realize a sweater is not a sweater. Honestly, like the jacket that I was wearing last night, first of all, it fits. And you don't realize how much it makes a vast difference if it's the perfect jacket with the perfect fit. So it fits perfectly. And then the other thing is they said, listen, try this. It's a little bolder than anything you would pick out yourself. And they recognize that in a way that, that I wouldn't have. And so it's not just the beautiful clothing. It's the fact that they, listen, you don't last here since from 1859. If you still do things like 1859, they are as hip and as current as can possibly be. And the way they said it, if you wear this jacket, you'll look like today, not yesterday. And, I try to live up to that as well. Anyway, it was a great night at AutoZone Park. We will talk to Jason Smith coming up next. Jeff Calkin Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and autopay. Offer ends 11/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Hey, I'm Shayna, Pep Boys Service Tech. Fall is a dangerous driving season. With wet leaves, shorter days, and out-of-town drivers, you really need reliable brakes. Celebrate Fall Car Care Month with Pep Boys, and our ASE-certified pros will make sure your brakes are safe.
Now at Pep Boys, get up to $120 off Wagner Premium Brake Packages. Plus, get a $50 Visa card by mail when you open a new Pep Boys credit card now through October 20th. Up to $60 per axle after mail and rebate. Credit card subject to credit approval. See restrictions at PepBoys.com.
Visit your Pep Boys service and tire center today.
Spencer here with ATC Fitness. We have exciting news. All premium members of ATC Fitness now have access to our newly added Hydro Massage Lounges. That's right, for only $25 a month, you'll have access to 18 state-of-the-art facilities, access to tanning, and now access to the best massage unit on the market. Come in today and relax with a free demo. You deserve it. Don't forget, you can also sign up online, atcfitness.com. ATC Fitness, exercise your right to look good.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering, terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
What's the difference between good and great? Good is getting a haircut you love. Great is getting it for $5.99. It's time for the $5.99 Great Haircut Sale at Great Clips. And when you use online check-in to stop in for our best sale of the year, you'll not only save money, but time too. Download our online check-in app to snag a great haircut for just $5.99. The Great Haircut Sale at Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale runs October 12th through October 18th.
Visit our Memphis area salons.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 11/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
If you like piña coladas, then get
spilled your piña colada? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And is 2 times more absorbent than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to getting caught in the rain. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
It's Mattress Firm Save Big Sale. Save up to $400. Plus, get 0% APR for 6 years, zero down, and zero due at signing. It's as easy as sign, save, sleep. And get a free adjustable base with any purchase of $699. Don't wait. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Call 1-866-780-6220 for credit costs and terms. For new accounts, purchase APR is 29.99%. Subject to credit approval, valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
How you doing, people? And if you're in the market for a new Chevy car, truck, or SUV, new or pre-owned, see my guys at All Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. They will treat you like a star. It's simple as ABC. A is the All Star Challenge to beat any written offer from any Mid-South dealer, or they buy you a tank of gas. B, better buying experience. They value your time and make it quick. C, customer care. They want you to be an all-star family member for this car or truck and all the other ones you'll ever need. And before you head to All-Star and Olive Branch, check out the inventory at allstarautogroup.com. Silverados, Equinox, Traverse, Impala, Camaro. They have all you ever need with the best Chevy lineup ever. So don't go to Collierville, the Pike, or South Haven. Find new roads to Olive Branch and All-Star Chevrolet. Minutes from anywhere in Memphis or go to allstarautogroup.com. Just mention you heard about them on this station and you'll get a Malco movie gift card when you test drive any All-Star Chevy you want.
Experience fine dining in a casual atmosphere with today's Perks deal. Half off $50 gift cards to Felicia Suzanne's restaurant in downtown Memphis. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John, of course, every single day from 11 until 2. Do not miss it. And follow Jason on Twitter at JasonSmith929. So you're from here. You tell me why. I was skeptical. And by the way, the whole event, 7 to 9. That's all. Now, there was a reception beforehand and all that, but the actual induction ceremony, they got 22 people inducted between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., which was really impressive.
I picked the wrong mic.
There we go. So
I'll put them together.
So, but you tell me. So Penny comes. He sits there for the whole thing. Keith Lee comes. He shows up.
That's the one, right?
Like George's kids fly in from New York and Calgary. You have pretty much everyone who was asked was there and was you have Tim McCarver, you have Claude Humphrey. You have
I saw Verdi's
Isaac
there.
Bruce, you have Verdi's.
Stunning.
What is this? What is it about this city? And that was the theme. The theme wasn't, boy, I did great. The theme wasn't even I love my family, although they all did say they love their family.
Mm-hmm.
The theme was I love Memphis. And it's even in the honorees, it's people who were rooted in Memphis, who stayed in Memphis, who returned in Memphis,
yep.
who you're from here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what's going on there?
Well, there's just something about it, right? When I think you said it best, I was listening to you coming in here in terms of the feeling is that, you know, when home honors you, you that's as good as it gets, right? Because it's your start. And if those people that saw you at the beginning think enough of you, right, and what you went on to be, right, to honor right. you and say you are special, you are one of us that's special, well, I don't imagine the honors get any greater than that. Right. Right, that's what I mean. That
okay, I agree with that. And that, but that,
and
that, so
that's
that,
why
that
for Rochelle,
be...
you're coming out in a limo. Like to me, I'd have come
Rochelle
in a limo too. I'd have spent
man.
A little bit of money I had and rented a limo. And because again, this feels like an important night, and that's what you know. From the outside looking in, it's like wow. I mean, look at that lineup of folks. I looked at the picture you took. Look at all those stories and those kind of Hall of Fame stories all together in one room, and you're like, my goodness, what a room, you know. What a place to be, and it looked like such an honor for those folks, and they looked genuinely happy to accept it. I mean, family members flying in to accept awards.
They were all thrilled. Just it's funny. I do think
honored.
There's something about that. Like if home recognizes you,
mm-hmm. think you
that's
hit it.
Particularly meaningful. But it's also a little like, why did Penny Hardaway move back here? Like why does Claude Humphrey live here? Why does I'm wary of saying Memphis is this exceptional place because,
right.
I mean, Buffalo has a little bit of the same feel of Memphis in some ways. But why did Penny move back here? Like, truly. Like, we know he loves playing golf. We know he has plenty of money. Like, Michael Jordan, does he live in North – I mean, I don't know where Michael Jordan lives. Where does Michael Jordan live? Does he live in Carolina? I mean, does he live in –
several hundred residences. His
primary residence is down in like Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. Yeah, isn't it like that, that's he didn't move back to whatever. Where what town was he from in North Carolina? I don't know what town he was from, but they, like most people don't.
He's born in North and raised in New York. Wasn't he?
I think he was born in
born in North. Yeah, Wilmington.
Yeah,
and
Wilmington.
Raised in New York. I think
Okay. Anyway, so it's just like I find it really striking that you couldn't get.
It's a great question about Penny about coming home because. For a long time, it just felt like, you know, he went on, starred in Orlando, moves on to career Phoenix, and then elsewhere, New York, Miami for short stops, and it just didn't you knew he had a home here,
right.
But is he back all the time? No. And you just figured he was a star, and he's going to live in Florida.
Some
and
star
just
place.
Like Tiger Woods and all the
right.
stars, they've
right.
got millions of dollars.
Live
and so,
with all the other
so
stars.
It was, you know, to come home and sort of stay here. And I'm not sure how much of Dez saying, hey, can you help me with – over here at
kept
East,
him here,
keeps
him here,
here
give him a meaning.
Once he does get there, it certainly feels like, and listens to Dez say, you're going to do this, this, and this, after you help volunteer with me, it sure feels like he found some purpose once he did, if he didn't already have it. And so purpose in terms of this is what I'm going to do while this, I'm going to stay here and do this. So again, I'm not saying he stayed home here to come be a coach, but once he got over there, he sure decided I'm going to stay and
do
this.
Well, I think there is a sense of meaning in this place, and it's even like if you take the wealthy owner people who were represented last, like William Donovan and Avern Fogelman,
mm-hmm.
you can be a wealthy human being and not want to make and not be involved in your city. That's what to me is like striking about the whole thing. It's that they both spoke about. With Avern, it was bringing the chicks here, and
right.
there was soccer as well, and William Donovan bring the tennis tournament here, and it is the way that, and obviously for Penny, it has an impact in a different way. Rochelle still has her, still does stuff with local track. People sort of roll up their sleeves,
mm-hmm.
whatever their sleeve, whether they're button-down sleeves or whatever kind of sleeves they are, they roll up their sleeves and they get involved in this place.
One day you guys will be inducting Anthony Miller, who we had on yesterday, and what's he doing this week during a bye week? He's back home doing a camp. I mean,
right.
that's
right.
And he told us, you know, and D'Angelo wasn't from here, but what does he do every time? I mean, he reps it like he is. It was him, Anthony Miller, going to D'Angelo camps. He told us yesterday, you know, that's where I got mine. That's where I said, you know, if I ever get there, I'm going to give back and do camps myself. I mean, Anthony Miller was in D'Angelo's camp going, hey, you know, you see me, you know, trying to make it, and look at him now, not getting enough targets with the Chicago Bears. He was after an awesome rookie season.
Funny you bring up D'Angelo, because I asked Isaac Bruce why he came in. Like, what's this mean? And he said, think about the people who aren't here. Like, in other words, you just imagine all the great Memphians who aren't here to establish what
especially be the first class.
What
I mean, that's,
honor
you talk about an honor
is,
already.
Right?
And
I will say, I had a little pang. Elliot Perry is the classiest human being in the world, because I took that picture of the class of honorees last night, and I tweeted it out. And who retweets it with clapping hands,
Holy
emoji, EP, saying what a – and I'll be honest. If there's – among the people who I have pangs that were not in this first class, Elliot Perry is probably at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no question in anyone's mind that Elliot Perry is going to be in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. Like, that's not a borderline case, right?
Right.
You knew he was going to be in. Just you put in every Memphis basketball player
the first time around.
Year.
And
D'Angelo's another one.
Like, absolutely.
D'Angelo is going.
That's what made you think.
D'Angelo is going to be in. Elliot is going to be in.
He's so humble, and so Elliot Perry. Right?
Do you think it
that's
bothers
one of the great
him
things
at all?
About him. I doubt it, because I think EP, he didn't have to tweet that at all. I think he's genuinely proud of those guys, and I think he looks at it more importantly this way. I think EP looks at it as, look, I came on the backs of those guys, of Larry Finch and Ronnie Robinson and Keith Lee, right? If not for those guys, it wouldn't have been for me. And you know the humble way he carries himself and just how grateful EP is for everything, right? I would hope. Now, don't get me wrong, EP's a competitor. Everybody, in that first class, I mean, come on. You talk about the honor of a lifetime. But
he's a slim little guy, and he did what he did. Like, there's no question he's a competitor.
I would look at it as, you got the right. He knows he's going in, but if there are Tigers that need to go in first, you certainly got the icons, right? Or the ones that have got to go,
I think I would have.
I mean, he is an
icon. If I was Elliot Perry, I would have looked at it and said, I would have been a little irritated, but I would have understood. Right? I think
he got Ronnie, Larry.
He may be wired in such a way that he's not even like, it wouldn't even bother him. I think he's wired that way so much that it doesn't
even bother
him.
I promise you he is. And you know, again, that's not to say he's still a competitor. I mean, and considers himself, I'm sure, one of the – but I'm telling you right now, no, EP's looking at it like, you guys got the right – you got the right foursome in there to start this thing off, and he knows you're going to be calling him next year.
The it is funny. There was – and I don't want to give too much away in terms of the debates, whatever, discussion about whatever.
What a fun –
it was – so there was some question as to whether you put in Larry and Ronnie – or whether you just put in Larry and then put in Ronnie later, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, it wasn't me, but there were people in the room who said, you could not have Larry without Ronnie, or
not
Ronnie without
them.
Larry.
Right.
And I didn't. I don't think I was arguing against Ronnie at all. I was not the person who vocalized that. Whoever said it, and it may have been Kevin who said it, is 100% right. Like, seven people last night repeated that, including Vicky Finch and Emma Robinson and Verdi Sales, and everyone who knew them said, yes, you had to have them in together. They were, as you point, they're the one, it's on the backs of
no question. I mean, and they represent that same time period, right? And they came together. They played, it was together.
Right.
And out of Orange Mound together. And so to keep them together was absolutely the right thing to do, because again, if they don't do it, right, if Larry doesn't decide to come, and we probably, you know, Larry gets all of that credit, right? Ronnie's right there in the middle of it all too, and to separate them would have been. I'm glad Kevin Kang told you that, and I'm sure that's what those folks were telling you, those seven people. That's, I'm sure they appreciated it, because you don't separate those.
Isaac Bruce, by the way, looks like he could still play, and
he's in fantastic shape.
He looks, and he is incredibly comfortable. Like, he was just.
He's next up in the Hall of Fame. I mean, this is it.
Better be.
Now that T.O. and Moss, the guys that we knew were going to pass him, you've gotten those guys in. He's in terms of the next group of receivers, he's right there at the top of the list.
The thing is, it's not just the numbers. He also caught. He won the Super Bowl for them.
Oh, like, the game-winning touchdown.
The game-winning
yard touchdown.
Yeah, he stacked up huge numbers.
Oh, he's got to get it. And his peers, well, he had Michael Irvin on, and I don't think it was just lip service. Again, Michael wouldn't say it about a guy he doesn't believe shouldn't be there. Everybody thinks that Isaac Bruce should be in the Hall of Fame. And the one thing is, because he wasn't the guy that waving his hand saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, and maybe that's why everybody's so okay with it taking him a little longer. Taking it a little longer for him to get in because you know he's not going to be out here, you know, in the streets raising a fuss.
Okay, so who's
we're penalizing him for carrying himself so well?
So who's in our next class?
Oh, Elliot Perry's going to be in.
Elliot's got to be in the next class.
I would go. I mean, you know, if you're talking about point guards and guys that were on those, I mean, Andre Turner, you know, but we could just do all Tigers.
Well, you could just do all Tigers.
Tiger basketball.
D'Angelo go in the next class?
I think you want to because of the way he represents. It's just like you're talking about. Here's a guy who's a non-Memphian in terms of where he's born, comes here and says, you know, well, I mean, it's like I'm from Memphis. You know, he reps Memphis like he's from here. And so, again, if anybody deserves the honor, I mean, he's the best running back ever come through here. I mean, you could argue the best player. We'll see what happens.
Who are the best Memphis football players ever? Isaac?
Isaac Bruce, D'Angelo Williams.
D'Angelo Williams.
Anthony Miller, because he's got the receiving records right there with Isaac, right? He's got to go there. Who else?
Right.
I'm missing an offensive lineman.
Well, Steven Gaskowski is going to be in at some point.
Well,
isn't
he's got to
he?
Like, be. He's got to be there
after
because
Super Bowl
he's
after
won
Super Bowl
he's
after
rings,
Super Bowl, and he's all pro
Kicker's
and everything
gonna,
else. He's going to be in there.
In there.
Anyway, it was a fun night. Okay, a couple other things I wanted to talk to you about. One is Memphis football plays this week. It is Mike. This weekend, I was a huge game. It is Mike Norvell's birthday. And then there's a lot of discussion about now game day coming to Memphis. Don't you think it's not premature in the sense that I do believe it's something that could conceivably happen?
A lot of it's out of your control, right? SMU.
You don't.
You know, you got to win each one.
They got to win. You got to win.
And
they don't even decide until the week of.
And again, Tulsa should have beat SMU. I mean, it's not like SMU is some world beater here. I'm sitting there watching them last week, and Tulsa's up by 21. That game should have been won, and they did everything in their power to lose that game, and it happened. So it's not like I'm watching that SMU team isn't going to lose between now and then as well. And
Memphis isn't a world beater. They're good,
and
but
this
they're
is,
not.
Unfortunately, I think this Temple game is the toughest one they got left. I asked you that question. It sounded a little weird because they've still got Cincy, which has got a now ranked and everything else. But if you look at the efficiency rankings over to ESPN, everybody in terms of Cincy, in terms of Tulane, in terms of Temple, they're all, in terms of SMU, they're all ranked together. In that efficiency ranking, Memphis up in the top 25. Well, the advantage that you have with SMU, with two, those games are here.
Right.
The thing is, Temple, the team that they put with those other ones in the efficiency rankings, is on the road. They've already knocked off a ranked team there. You're talking about a team that's 4-1, right? Lost to Buffalo. Nobody's talking about them. They're well coached. Rod Carey, good coach. They got a top 20 defense. All they want to do is knock off a second-ranked team coming in there.
Right.
You give them a little more fire now that Memphis is in the polls. This is something they do. Now, they play two quarterbacks, which means you don't have one, right? They're still trying to figure that out. But their defense is good enough to give you a hard time all game long if you don't go out there, if Brady White doesn't go out there and make plays. He'll have to.
Jeffrey,
not just gonna let you run it on him.
Is it no longer – at the start of the season, everyone said Memphis is favored to win every game. Now, of course, they didn't mean they were favored to win every game. They were favored to win each game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they weren't – no one thought they were going to win every game. They just were favored in each game.
Projected to be the favorite in each game.
I don't think they're favored in each game going forward. Are they – can you look at the – right now, are they still favorites in each game in front of them? Is that something that your gambling friends can tell me about right now? I don't think they are.
It's tough to say, but if you did, like, look ahead lines
for Memphis-Cincinnati.
The only one's going to be Cincy, right, Jeff?
Who's favored in that game right now?
Cincinnati would be favored. Let me look at the
– See?
Let me look at the specific numbers. Hang on.
Because they just knocked off UCF.
Right. But I don't, in other words, I don't think Memphis, that thing that we've been saying all along,
well,
which
just
is
be the last game.
Memphis is favored.
This is the, because SMU's at home, and again, the way it's going, I think they will be favored. Memphis comes out of this Temple game with a win, they'll be favored against Tulane next week. And so, again, there's only the one. There's only Cincinnati. And again, if they run it by that time, who knows what happens with Cincinnati, they could end up being favored. It's going to be close because that game's here.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any more information, Jeffrey?
If not, so right now, Cincinnati would be favored.
It's like a slight. I saw it like an FP projection. Cincinnati, like a, well, because of the right, the FBI or whatever it is.
Right now, so based the on the numbers that I have, Cincinnati would be favored by about a point.
Mm-hmm.
If they played on a neutral field, Cincinnati would be favored by three.
And that could change.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Between
course,
now and then, you figure could Memphis could still be the favorite since
Final
Memphis
question for you is Houston plays Kansas City in the NFL this weekend. Does that game cause you pain? Because it matches up the great Patrick Mahomes, who was picked after Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Deshaun Watson, who was picked after Mitchell Trubisky.
You were not asking these kind of questions when the Bills stunk.
Here's the difference in you. You and
rubbing that salt in the wound.
No, you and I are in the same.
Jeffrey knows I'm telling the truth.
Your salt is my salt.
And
the Bills.
We're not good. You know you believe in this team now.
The Bills also passed on. They traded away.
I know.
This is a pain that I share with you.
Your guys, y'all are looking pretty good right now.
Yes, but I still don't believe in Josh Allen. And
you know he's tough. He's tough.
Yeah, he's tough. That's great. That'll
the
get you
tough running back.
That will get you concussed. That will not give me.
He's got his team believing in him.
Give me Deshaun Watson or give me Patrick Mahomes.
It's a battle of would be MVPs if it wasn't for Russell Wilson right now, and maybe the MVP is still there. But both of them are. I mean, come on. And we should have known on Deshaun. I would say that the whole time. Some guys are just a gamer. Right, you put him in there. You put him in the national championship. He keeps getting back up like Rocky, and you should have known. You should have known.
Instead, we take a guy that didn't start until
that last year, at North Carolina, and we took him too. We traded up to get him.
Traded up to get him. All right.
Yeah, it hurts, Jeff. It hurts if you want to know the truth.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it. That is Jason Smith. 11-2 today and every single day. You want to listen to. Jason and John. What do you think the chances of game day are?
It's the Florida-Georgia game. It's the same weekend.
So you think even – I know it is. And, okay, what if Florida loses? Like, is this a reason that – so who's Florida have between then, now and then? And who's Georgia have between now and then?
So Florida this weekend obviously has LSU.
Right. So let's say Florida loses that one. Who else does Florida have?
I mean, the only other really, like, losable game I think Florida has left is – the Georgia game.
Okay. So who does Georgia have between now and then?
So Georgia's schedule looks like this. South Carolina this weekend, Kentucky next weekend, the bye, and then Florida.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then Florida has...
They can't. I hate to say it. Even
like,
if
I'm not even trying to be like Mr. Wet Blanket.
Here's the truth of the matter.
And then Florida just has South Carolina.
What happened is yesterday, I don't know who, someone tweeted it, right? That I'm unconfirmed, but I'm hearing that the game day could be here. And Jonah, I think, correctly said, yeah, slow your roll there, ladies and gentlemen, slow your roll. I don't want this to be a... Memphis Madness from a year ago situation where people get their hopes up and get their hopes crushed. So I actually think to put this in context is responsible that it's – first of all, I don't think it's that likely that both Memphis and SMU will be undefeated then, right? And secondly, you're exactly right. How do you pick them over – with all due respect, how do you pick them over Georgia, Florida?
Well, and with
– I mean, Georgia's going to be – even if Florida loses this weekend, Georgia's not.
Correct. Georgia will be undefeated, and then Florida will have one loss.
Georgia will be undefeated, and Florida will have one loss. They're going to go there. That's where they're going to be. That's where
and Florida's and one loss will most likely be to LSU, which will be another.
And that's even if Florida has that one loss.
Correct.
Do you believe they'll have that one loss?
Oh, yeah. More on that later.
It is fairly striking, isn't it, that if you look at college football right now, that
There's a 13-point line between two top 10 teams.
No, that the best quarterbacks in the country are transfers, except for Tua.
Correct.
And coaches would tell you that transfers are ruining college football,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the end. It's the end. Just listen.
No commitment anymore.
The same people who are telling you that that at the end of amateurism is going to ruin football, college football, once told you that the age of transfers mm-hmm. and the transfer portal
yep.
was going to ruin college football.
So far.
And so far, I don't believe it. Like, is it ruining college football in Oklahoma right now?
Nope.
I don't believe it is ruining college football in Oklahoma right now. Is it ruining college football at LSU right now where Joe Burrow is lighting it up?
No, it is not.
I don't believe it is. Is it ruining college football at Ohio State right now where they happen to have a transfer quarterback? Is that ruining college football?
No, it's not.
It's not. Honestly, is it ruining college football?
I mean, Ohio State's ruining people, but yes.
Yes, they're ruining people. I mean, honestly, Memphis has a transfer quarterback.
It's SMU.
SMU is a transfer quarterback. Yes, that contest that we're talking about, two transfer quarterbacks. It's preposterous. The idea that it is ruining college football. Absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. But I think to the point, yes. Did you see, by the way, the Houston player who absolutely lit up?
I did. I saw the
– What did you think?
I think his name was Justin Murphy.
Yeah, we may read this later. So Justin Murphy is a player for the University of Houston.
Yes.
Who had a long Twitter thread
mm-hmm. –
about playing for the first program that tanked at the University of Houston, about his surgeries and about how he was treated by Dana Holgorsen, that basically was told to not get on the plane if you're not all in, and then essentially kicked off the team. And then when he went in to talk to Dana Holgorsen to at least shake his hand and say, thanks, coach, Dana Holgorsen didn't even look up him from his computer and said, I have time to talk, I have time to coach, not to talk.
Correct.
So it was, now, all we know is the one side, right? All we know is the one side. And I can imagine a world where he comes off as a malcontent, right?
Yes.
And I actually, reading that Twitter stream, I can imagine that if I were the coach, I can imagine saying, listen, don't come on the – if you're going to have an attitude, like I suspect that attitude didn't just manifest itself at the after he left the program.
Yep. My first impression afterwards is there were two thoughts I had. Number one, I've covered multiple college football teams and I've had friends that have played elsewhere. I have never seen and never heard of an example of a player being quote unquote kicked off the team or being left, you know, whatever, taken off the team without reason during the season. Now, because, guys, all the time.
And that's because they need them.
Correct.
That's because, well, listen, just, are they cogs in the machine? Are they treated like meat? Are they,
for sure.
All those things are true. But if you actually could help the team, it doesn't help the coach to tell you to go suck. Then, right.
The other big deal for me is like, okay, after the season, yes, I've seen guys get processed, whatever they want to, you know, however they want to define it all the time. But during the season, it's kind of one of the situations where if you're on the team at that point and you're not hurting the team in any shape, form, or fashion,
okay,
like you're just on the team for the rest of the year.
Okay, let me ask you this. Was it not natural for him to be discontented when what he said was that Dana Holgorsen
for sure
went to seniors and said, hey, do you want a red shirt this year so we can be better next year? His discontent came in response to what he said was Dana Holgorsen actively tanking the season. Was it not appropriate for him at that point to be discontented if Dana Holgorsen was literally asking seniors to redshirt so they could be better next year when he is injured and laying it on the line for the team this year?
Yeah, I think, like, I don't think this is a situation in which, like, one guy's clearly in the right, one guy's in the wrong. Like, I think it's been proven this year Dana Holgorsen is viewing this year, I don't know if tanking's the right word, but
no, because there's no benefit in tanking, per
no,
se.
No, but I think for sure what he is clearly doing is clearing a whole lot of roster space, and he's about to go lay the smack down on that transfer portal. And I think Houston's about to become an open-arm school for transfers everywhere. And I think what Holgorsen's point was,
he's thinking this is a freebie. He is not, and that's true. And it's this guy's – it's not Holgorsen's last year. It's this dude's last year.
Correct. And he – you know, he's transferred twice. Like, I don't know. Like, and I just felt like in his Twitter thread, for every good point he made, it felt like he was doing
sour. He found it sour.
Pandering bingo, like CTE. Like, he was working in all these things, and it felt like he was, like, hitting a checklist to, like, build sympathy for his case. And I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. It did not read well for either party for me.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back, talk to Chris Harrington on the other side. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. Money.
We're sticking cash in your app. Download the Radio.com app for free now from the App Store. Favorite 92.9 FM ESPN. Then listen weekdays at the top of every hour. 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12 noon, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m., and 4 p.m. Get the code. Text that word we give you to 72881. Data message rates apply. National contest. Get the code and you could win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm on Deadman's Bend at midnight when my gas light pops on. I see a gas station ahead. Just my luck. Or is it? I walk in. The attendant lifts a bony finger towards me and croaks, "You want a Halloween jumbo bucks?" I whisper it, terrified, "No." And as I leave, he asks the lady behind me. She says, "Okay." And then...
she wants $75,000!
Scare up some cash with the Halloween jumbo bucks instant game. Only from the Tennessee Lottery.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.